Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU second quarter 2018 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Caroline McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I'm going to briefly describe our results for the first half and second quarter of 2018, and then Arturo will be happy to take any questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides today, we will be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It's also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. As a final administrative note, this quarter we once again presented our construction materials subsidiary, Construmart, as available for sale. That will be the case all year because although the sale was completed in April, we still need to present Construmart's contribution to the first 4 months of the year. This creates comparability issues with previous periods. There's a full description on slide number three, but to summarize, we have restated the first half and second quarter 2017 P&L numbers, so those numbers are comparable to the 2018 numbers. The cash flow statement for the first half of 2017 has also been restated, and the balance sheet compares June 30th, 2018 to December 31st, 2017, and Construmart was presented as available for sale in both of those periods, so those numbers are also comparable. Where you have to be careful is with the comparisons between these numbers and prior periods. In the case of today's presentation, all of the P&L numbers are comparable because for the periods before 2017, we're using revenue, OPEX, and EBITDA for the food retail segment only, and in 2017 and 2018, we only have the food retail segment. If you have any questions about this, please feel free to get in touch with me afterwards. We'll start with slide number four, where we have revenue for the food retail segment, which increased by 2.5% in the first half of this year and by 2.3% in the second quarter. Gross margin increased from 28.4% in the first half of last year to 28.5% in the first half of this year, and it remained stable year over year in the second quarter at 28.5%. On the next slide, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first half of 2017 to the first half of 2018, where most of the growth came from our Unimark supermarkets and our cash and carry segment. Specifically in cash and carry, we've seen very strong growth from Mayorista 10, where revenue increased 5.7% in the first half of 2018 and 6.6% in the second quarter. And while Peru doesn't look so good in this graph, we have actually seen strong revenue performance there. There are two effects in the first half of this year that explain the lower revenues you see in the graph. One is the exchange rate. These numbers are in Chilean pesos, but measured in local currency, revenue actually grew over 5% in the half and over 10% in the second quarter. The other effect is a high comparison base in the first quarter because of very strong revenue performance in the first quarter of last year. However, even with a high comparison base, we did manage to grow revenue in Peru. On slide six, we have our same-store sales and sales per square meter performance. We had overall same-store sales growth of 3.1% in the first half and 2.7% in the second quarter. And by format, same-store sales were in line with revenue growth, with very strong performance in the cash and carry format, driven by Mayorista 10. And since same-store sales for Peru are measured in local currency, here we can see that the performance has been very good this year, growing 5.5% in the first half, despite the high comparison base, and 10.9% in the second quarter. Sales per square meter continue to grow, reaching an average across all food retail formats in both Chile and Peru of 307,000 pesos per month for the first half of 2018, which is 3.7% higher than in 2017. On slide number seven, we have operating expenses defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Here, we'd like to highlight the improvement in OPEX as a percentage of revenue. We had an improvement of 20 basis points in the first half and 30 basis points in the second quarter. Even though our distribution expenses increased by over 14% as a result of higher centralized distribution, our selling and administrative expenses only increased by 1% in the first half and 0.4% in the second quarter. A lower average headcount enabled us to decrease our personnel expenses, by approximately 3%, which is significant because personnel expenses account for around half of our OPEX. Average headcount decreased by approximately 7% year over year. On slide 8, we have our EBITDA, which grew 7.8% in the first half and 7.2% in the quarter. We also gained 30 basis points of EBITDA margin both in the half and in the quarter. The EBITDA margin for the first half was 6.2%, up from 5.9% as a result of the 10 basis point improvement in gross margin and 20 basis points in OPEX as a percentage of revenue. In the second quarter, EBITDA margin was 5.9%, up from 5.6% in 2017 as a result of the 30 basis point improvement in OPEX margin. On slide number 9, we have net income, which increased by 164% in the first half of this year. Net income was affected by a number of one-time effects. First is the cost of the restructuring program that we carried out in January of this year as part of our operating efficiency initiative, approximately 8 billion pesos that were reflected in non-operating losses in the first quarter. The second is the cost of prepaying our international bonds. We had extraordinary financial expenses of about 12 billion pesos in the first half, which includes the prepayment cost, the unwind of the cross-currency swap, and the recognition of issuance expenses. Before taxes, the combined impact of both effects is nearly 20 billion pesos. On the bottom part of the slide, we've included an exercise showing real pre-tax net income, which fell by 7.5 billion pesos because of these non-recurring effects, and pre-tax net income excluding these two effects, in which case we would have seen an increase of approximately 12.3 billion pesos. Finally, the sale of Construmart during the second quarter generated a deferred tax asset, which is reflected as a gain in our income taxes. On slide 10, we have an update on Plan CIMA, our strategic plan. A key focus of this plan is improving the customer experience, and one of our most important initiatives is upgrading a group of our Unimarc supermarkets. We initially identified 130 Unimarc stores that we plan to upgrade over 5 years. Between 2017 and 2018, so far, we've completed 20 upgrades, and we're currently working on the next group of 20. This year, we plan to upgrade a total of 30 stores. We've also opened 3 new OK Market stores in Santiago so far this year, as well as 1 Unimarc store in Talagante in the greater Santiago metro region. With respect to operating efficiency, one of the main initiatives is increasing our centralized distribution so we can optimize our inventory management. For the first half of 2018, we have increased our centralization rate to 47.5%, showing that we continue to make progress. For the full year, 2017, the rate was 45.1%. And we continue to roll out our training program that seeks to standardize key in-store processes. We're currently rolling out the program at a group of 60 stores in the north of Chile. This is another initiative that targets improved operating efficiency. On the next slide, we have a summary of the financial highlights for the first half of this year. We made 2 placements of local bonds. In both cases, these were Series T local bonds, which mature in March 2025 and have a 4-year grace period on capital and a U.S. plus 3% annual coupon rate. The first placement was at the beginning of April for 2.5 million U.S. or approximately $110 million. The placement rate was U.S. plus 3.04%, and the proceeds were used to refinance the remaining outstanding amount of our international bonds, which had a dollar plus 7.75% interest rate, which means that this bond placement is contributing to the savings on interest expenses that we will see in the coming quarters. The second placement was in June, so 1 million U.S. or approximately $43 million, with a placement rate of U.S. plus 2.67%. These proceeds were primarily used towards the portion of the syndicated loan that matured at the end of June. Just as a note, since June 30th fell on a Saturday this year, the syndicated loan payment will be reflected in the third quarter. Our June 30th balance sheet still includes both that debt, which is approximately 36 billion pesos, and the cash that we use to pay it. In addition to the Series T placements, in the second quarter, we also reported the sale of our Construmart subsidiary. We received approximately 46 billion pesos, and these proceeds were used primarily to reduce debt, including the payment of tranche 3 of our syndicated loan for approximately 17 billion pesos. And finally, during the third quarter, we completed the prepayment of 100% of our international bond. This bond was issued in 2013 and originally matured in February 2020. Given the 7.75% interest rate, paying down this debt was a priority for us. The prepayment was financed using the proceeds from our capital increases in November of last year and January of this year, plus the local bond we issued in April. We made three partial redemptions, one on February 9th for $120 million, one on April 2nd for $80 million, and the last on May 15th for $100 million. The prepayment cost is about 2%, and as I mentioned before, we also had to recognize the effect of unwinding the cross-currency swap, as well as the issuance expenses. The prepayment for all of our international bonds represents a significant improvement to our financial situation. We have less debt, less expensive debt, and a more favorable maturity profile. On slide 12, we have an overview of our financial debt. The pie charts on the left are only financial debt, excluding leases. Now that we have fully prepaid the international bond, we are left with local bonds and bank debt. And almost all of this debt is U.S. denominated. We have essentially eliminated exchange rate risk. On the right-hand side, in the net debt to EBITDA figures, we are including the leases, so this includes all of the financial liabilities on our balance sheet. The graph shows the significant progress we've made here. We ended the second quarter at 4.1 times, and this number should continue to trend downward as we expect to continue to grow our EBITDA and pay down the debt that matures in future periods. On slide 12, we have our debt maturity profile as of June 30th. During the first half of this year, we saw significant improvements to our maturity profile with the redemption of international bonds and the payment of tranche 3 of the syndicated loan, as well as the placement of the Series T local bond. The new maturity profile is more evenly distributed and in line with the cash flows we expect to generate going forward. And also here you can see in 2018 what I mentioned before about the June payment of the syndicated loan, which is still here in the profile as of June 30th, but will be reflected as paid in the third quarter. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Alonzo Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Yeah, I have two questions. First, on Unimark, can you comment on the sales growth? It was a little bit slower than last quarter. What's driving this weaker sales growth? And maybe also comment a little bit on the results of the new stores, the upgraded stores. How are those developing in recent months? And my second question is regarding your gross margins, which were flat in the quarter versus last year. You continue to grow the centralization, and that had been driving higher margins. Should we expect this to continue also in the future, both, you know, driving the centralization higher and that driving itself the higher gross margins?
Okay. Hi, Alonso. First question about the Unimark sales growth. In fact, the same-store sale of Unimark was 1.7% in the second quarter. It's a little bit lower of the industry. But if you see the gross margin, in consolidated gross margin was a little bit flat, increased 10 basis points in the first half of the year. But if you see the gross margin, specifically in Unimar, increasing 20 basis points in the first half. Because in the first half, what is the relation of these two numbers? Because in the first half, the promotional sales in Unimar was more important, passing from 36-37% of the total sales to 41-42% of the total sales. In this scenario, the sales growth is lower because you include the discount in the sales for our clients, but you receive the sale out from the suppliers because these promotional activities are financed by suppliers. Therefore, affecting negatively the revenues, but affecting positively the gross margin. For this reason, the gross margin in Unimar was higher 20 basis points in comparison to the rest of the format for this affecting revenues and gross margin. In the same line, the gross margin was not so higher than the previous year, even with more centralization. You are right, but the reason of this is because in the first quarter, essentially, and also in the second quarter, the company increased the participation in the private level in the total sales and the total purchases, and also in other products of the high consumption. And for this reason, the imports were in the first half higher than the first half of 2017. And this product is not part of the rebate that we receive from our supplier, because in the import we are not receiving a rebate. We receive 100% of the effect in the original cost, affecting the mix of the rebate received from the supplier. We increased the centralization, but the mix was more weight of imports, affecting the average rate of rebates. It's very, very, and for the same reason, the contribution of the additional centralization in the gross margin was practically zero for this effect. The 100% of the 10 basis point in addition in the gross margin was more commercial efficiency, but nothing about of logistic rebate.
Okay, thank you. And maybe a follow-up on your first question. Can you comment on the upgraded stores, the Unimark upgraded stores? How are those performing relative to the others?
Our remodeling plan included the 15% sale growth in average in the first 10 stores remodeled in 2017, and in 2018 we remodeled 20 stores more in the first half. Excuse me, 10 stores in the first half. The result was similar with our previous evaluation or assessment, and also we improved the gross margin in and 30 or 40 basis points, and the EBITDA margin 200 basis points. The result was as expectation in our previous assessment, and for the same reason we are very, very happy with the result, and implementing 20 stores more in the second half of this year.
Great, thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. There are currently no questions at this time. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Caroline McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. I hope you have a great day, and I hope we see you at our next call for the third quarter. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.